Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Alongside Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, also helping behind the scenes, Ryan Elliott, along with Jenny James. We've got a good show on hand tonight. We'll be talking football and basketball as the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum, will be joining us as, head football coach, Rich Wright, and linebacker off his squad, Ben Altoff. That's all coming up during our program this evening. Matt Tritton, you had a chance to do a little traveling over this past weekend, head out to North Carolina and broadcast the Duke and Northwest men's basketball game out there a week ago. Just talk a little bit about just your impressions of the way that entire week went for the Bearcat men's basketball team.
I think it went off without a hitch, and I think it ended up with a lot of positives, really, for Northwest Missouri State all around. With the team traveling out on Wednesday, the chance to go out and get the full experience, have some practices there at Cameron Indoor Stadium, acclimate themselves to the atmosphere. Even had a day where they went to Chapel Hill and got to tour North Carolina's facilities and see that. And then, of course, play against a very good Division I men's basketball team. And other than the fact that shots wouldn't fall, they really didn't play that poorly on the night. The Bearcats did a good job of holding their own and ended up falling by 33 points. But I think there were a lot of positives for Ben McCollum to take away from that basketball game. But Coach K talked about it with John Jasinski leading up to it and into ACC Media Day, that it's a chance to extend the Division II championship celebration for this team. That such a great year for Northwest Missouri State, and a chance to take that on a little bit into the 2017-2018 season. And I think the Bearcats really took advantage of that by enjoying themselves, building some team camaraderie, especially with some of the new guys, a couple freshmen, a transfer into the program as well. So overall, a great trip. And anytime you get to see Cameron Indoor Stadium and just such a historic building, a historic coach like Mike Krzyzewski there. Overall, a great trip. And the Bearcats able to kind of turn their focus and get ready for the regular season.
I think one of the nice things about it, too, was for the most part, an experienced team that took part in that national championship a year ago, and a lot of those guys still had a chance to enjoy the experience last weekend.
Yeah, so often in this game that Duke's built up is kind of turning into tradition to where they play the Division II national champ, you see the best players from that previous team, some of the big contributors graduate and then not able to make it out and really experience it the next year. So then you have some new guys taking that part, which is great, but it's kind of lost on some of those other guys. Whereas this season we see, you know, a Justin Pitts, a Chris Abu and Dow, a Xavier Kurth, a Ryan Wealthy, guys like that that were such big contributors to a national championship team, get to carry that over and take part and play at Duke. And even some of the guys that graduated, Anthony Woods is back as a student assistant. Zach Schneider, the MIAA's all-time leading three-point shooter, back as a graduate assistant. Devontae Mosby, not able to make it since he's with the football team now and pursuing another ring, which is great for him. But a good opportunity for these guys that were such big contributors for that team to get to go and really experience Duke for what it is.
Tell you what, it was a big week as well for Chris Indell, wasn't it?
It was. Got to celebrate the birth of his first child, a daughter. I believe she came on Thursday, and then he turned around, flew out there, met with the team on Friday, and took off and was in that basketball game. So one of the biggest weeks of his life, to say the least, to be able to participate in that game as well as the birth of his child. And just very cool for him to be able to experience both. And I had a chance to catch him before the basketball game and just ask him about it a little bit. And you could see he was excited and really happy to have her here. And, healthy and the birth went well. I did give him the forewarning that next few months, as a first-time dad and a baby, it's not going to be easy. But he said he's up for the challenge, knows it's not going to be easy. But we'll talk to him maybe in January and kind of see how he's standing.
Yeah, you've got a few months on him in that regard, I think. So
no sleep. No sleep ever. But you know what? He'll be all right. Man, heck of a senior year for Chris Abu and Dow, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt about that. And then I remember continuing to talk a little basketball here about a couple of hours from now at 8 o'clock over Bearcat Arena, an opportunity for fans here to get a chance to see both the men's and women's teams as the annual basketball bash will be taking place. A lot of things going on around that, and a chance to see both teams dance a little bit, which is sometimes not very pretty, but especially on the men's side. But anyway, it's always a fun evening and a good way to tip off the season, and a chance to have fans kind of get a chance to meet some of the new players that are involved with both of those programs.
You know, one thing I keep petitioning is to try to get the voice of the Bearcast, John Coffey, to get out and dance with the team. And it hasn't happened just yet. Maybe someday, but it is a good opportunity to see the teams and see them showcased for the first time and what they're made of and the personalities of everybody. And, Coach K said it after Northwest played Duke that he could clearly see the talent and the coaching, and he expects this team to push for another national championship. So a good opportunity to see this team a little bit early before getting things started on down the line. And same thing for the women's basketball team coming off of a tough year last year. When you look at them, 9-18 overall, 4-15 in the MIAA, but a lot of young players got good experience. They've got some definite talent coming in with some transfer players as well, some very impactful freshmen. So good chance to kind of get a scope of what the winter and spring will hold for these basketball teams tonight.
And as far as football goes, a tough loss last week to Pittsburgh State down in Pittsburgh, Kansas. One of those games where things just didn't quite go as anticipated or hoped for, but still a heck of a season so far, and a big, big game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, you just got to turn the page and look toward Fort Hays State. That's during a 38-game winning streak. I think that's what Northwest did so well, was what happened the Saturday before, the Thursday before at the start of the year. You just kind of forget about it and go on, whether that was a win or if it happens to be a loss. And so they're so good at turning the page and kind of forgetting about it. And I think that's one thing that we need to kind of keep in perspective, too, is just how lucky we are at Northwest to be able to see such a dominating program to where we have the chance to see not only 15-0, but 38-0. I mean, that's just ridiculous to think almost three straight regular seasons of undefeated play. So, yeah, it's disappointing. They're 8-1, but this is a team still in the thick of it with the playoff race. You can go out and beat an undefeated Fort Hays State team and jump back up in the region rankings and still a chance to compete for an MIAA championship. So everything Northwest has been playing for all year, it's still out in front of them, even though they had a tough game at Pittsburgh last week.
Well, I tell you, it's, when you think about it, the last loss back in the end of 2014 against Minnesota Duluth in the playoffs there, and that's just a heck of a run and something that is very tough to do.
You're exactly right. And, you know, you think back to that football game and playing in late November in Minnesota, and really wasn't too cold. And that was a game that I think if Matt Longacre stays healthy, he might go ahead and win that game, win a national championship. Things didn't break that way. And with the Pittsburgh State loss just last weekend, a lot of things had to go right for the Gorillas to be able to hold off Northwest and pull that one out. So even though things don't go your way, they were still right there. And I expect them to kind of put things together. And I'm guessing when Coach Wright gets here, he'll say it's been a pretty spirited week of practice.
I think you're probably right there. And as far as other activities involving fall sports still going on across country, it competes this weekend at NCAA Central Regional, that being held in Kearney, Nebraska. And then you got volleyball on the road this weekend. They're in action tomorrow night in Bolivar to face Southwest Baptist. So still have a lot of the fall sports going on, and winter sports getting started. So a busy time.
That's right, cross country. A couple weeks to get ready for this NCAA Central Regional, so hopefully a good showing there in Kearney, Nebraska. Then you look at volleyball, coming off a couple tough losses, but SBU Friday, Missouri Southern on Saturday, a couple teams you've already beat up on, a couple teams that have struggled already, so fatten up on those teams down south and build up some confidence. Hopefully the Bearcats get rolling once again.
Again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, football and basketball primarily this evening, and we'll be back to have more for you from Carson's right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville. Their memory care program offers residents emotional and social support, art, music, pet therapies, and more. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late-model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing customers with sales, design, service, and installation of surveillance and security systems for homes and business, as well as paging and public address systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and joined now by the athletic director, Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. And Mel, it's a busy time. You got the fall sports winding down, winter sports starting up. It's a fun time to be around Northwest Missouri State.
We got a lot going on, John. We finished up, soccer finished up. Soccer and women's golf are both finished. Soccer ended up with a win on Sunday over Lindenwood, 2-1, and senior day, and that was a nice day. And then women's golf finished a couple of weeks ago. Cross country has their regional meet this week, Saturday at Kearney. And so, you know, that probably be the end of the season for most of them. Hopefully somebody will qualify for nationals, but that remains to be seen. Volleyball has a big weekend this weekend. They go to Southern and Baptist. And then next weekend we finish out at home against Fort Hays and Nebraska Kearney. And we're, I think right now we're fifth in the league in volleyball, and so should get into the definitely get into the tournament. It'd be nice if we could move up one and host a first round game. That'd be a real accomplishment for our volleyball team. They're having a good year, and like you said, basketball starting. The women had a scrimmage I think Monday night. They scrimmaged Wayne State, or they scrimmaged, excuse me, I believe they scrimmaged Sioux Falls. They scrimmaged in Omaha, and the men, of course, had the trip to Duke, which was a great trip, and I think they've got another scrimmage coming up. The women are going to scrimmage on Saturday, and of course, football is probably the biggest game of the year so far, and so that's exciting. So, yeah, so there's a lot going on, John, and we just keep going.
Coach, what's your takeaway from the Duke basketball game for the men's team to be able to go in, experience that atmosphere, but also a young up-and-coming coach like Ben McCollum to be able to be across the way from Mike Krzyzewski and kind of go head-to-head with them too?
Well, nothing but positive. I mean, that was such a great trip. You were along, and just the all the positive things that came out of it. You know, first of all, for the players, just to have that experience. You know, one Division II team a year gets that opportunity to go into an atmosphere, at least like Duke. You know, some others play exhibition games against Division I opponents, but to go to Duke, and now, you know, it came out, they're ranked number one in the country. You know, to go in there and play, and I thought played pretty competitively. You know, unfortunately, we didn't shoot very well, but if we would have shot a little better, it would have been pretty competitive. And, you know, but it was fun to see them do that, to experience all that. It was great for our fans. We had, I don't know, somewhere, I would guess between 200 and 250 people there. We had a great event before the ball game, and just an opportunity for fans to kind of absorb all that. You know, and like you said, for Ben to be there and be able to, he got an opportunity to visit with Coach K. I think it was on Friday morning after the shoot around. They visited for a while, and so all those are just real positive. And you know, it's got to be something that I think is just going to help us as the season goes along.
I think one of the neat things about that was just the red carpet that Duke behind the scenes rolled out for everyone involved with the Bearcat program coming out for that event.
It was first class, and they treated us first class. I mean, you know, from the time we got there, the practices, everything, they took good care of us. All the people there in Durham and in that area were so friendly. And, you know, you walk in and they say, welcome to Duke, and where are your seats? Let me, you know, I mean, everything was that way. And I had the opportunity to visit with Mike Craig, who is the He's the basketball director of basketball operations, but more importantly, he's in charge of all their facilities. And Carol and I spent about 2 hours with him on Friday afternoon and toured all, most of their facilities, not all of them, but just first class. I mean, you know, he didn't have to spend that time with us, but it was great. And just to see what it's like at that level, and you know, of course, to see the students in Cameron, that was that was real. Their crowd might not have been, you know, the rest of the crowd probably was, I don't know, probably 60-75%, but the students were there and they were active, and that was fun.
Heck, even before the game, they were out there heckling just a little bit, you know. So it was
exciting. Yeah, that's all part of it. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but on the end where on our bench, on that end, the students don't even have seats. It was just risers because they said there was no sense putting benches in because they stand the whole time anyway, and so just a great atmosphere and a great traditions.
You know, you talked about facilities. If anyone's been driving through the Northwest campus recently and seeing the kind of paying attention to the construction work going on with the indoor facility, they're seeing quite a bit of progress being made here.
That's exciting, John, to see that. You know, I mean, when last Friday, we were at the reception, and I think it was James Robinson, when he came in, he said, hey, you seen what's going on? And I said, no, I haven't seen it. And he said, well, you'll be surprised when you get back. And it's awesome. I mean, they're putting up steel, and, you know, they're moving right along. And what I like about it now, you know, when you just saw them leveling it off, it was hard to visualize how big it was going to be. But I think now when you start looking at it, you can see how big a facility that's going to be and just how great it's going to be. So that's a real exciting time for us right now.
Just the fact of having beams go up, you start to see the structure. I don't even think it's halfway through how big it's actually going to be with just the beams right now, but a large building. Does that already play into recruiting, having some students come on and kind of point over your shoulder and say, less than a year away?
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's real. It's reality now. You know, you can show pictures all you want, and you know, I know places where they show pictures 4 or 5 years in advance of anything ever happening, and we did a little of that too, because you don't know. But this is real, and they can see when those kids come on campus, they can see that, hey, next year we're going to be inside there, and we're going to have this facility to practice in, and we're going to have for track and baseball and softball. You know, it's just going to be it's a tremendous help. So there's no doubt about it that this is a big plus. Right now, they can see that it is going to happen.
And what's neat about this facility, too, is just how many different entities will have a chance to benefit from this facility.
Well, you know, really, all of our sports in one way or another, even men and women's basketball and volleyball, they're not going to move out there, but they'll benefit because they'll get rid of everybody else. You know, they'll be able to have a little peace and quiet when they practice. And so I just think it's going to be a great recruiting tool, not just for athletics, but just for the university. You know, it's so impressive to be able to bring kids in, and I don't know if either of you have been inside Pittsburgh States, but when you walk in there, I mean, it's just it really just kind of grabs you, you know, how big and how awesome it is to have something like that. So you know, it's a real exciting time, and the foundation is meeting right now, and you know, probably the most exciting thing for them and for all of us is the fact that within, you know, we're within a few dollars of having that thing paid for, and that's a huge plus. And that's a tremendous show of support from our alums and from the people that are boosters. Most of that, you know, they started that founding 50, and I think we're up to 73 or something in that group. Most of those people have athletic ties, almost all of them. And so that says a lot about what athletics is doing for this university, and how people identify with athletics, and now how it's starting to they're starting to see that here's a way to help athletics and to help our university.
And the community support as well with the vote over a year ago to help make that a reality as well.
There's no doubt about it, John. That's a big plus, too, the fact that this community voted the bed tax, as we call it, and what that's going to do, and the student involvement. You know, they voted a fee that some of that's going to go toward the building. So, you know, everybody's involved, and it's going to be a win for everybody. I really believe that.
And now there's still the opportunity to purchase pavers and bricks that can be personalized outside of it, correct?
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Matt. Yeah, you almost sound like a guy that sells stuff for the university. So.
Couldn't tell you.
No, that's true. And, you know, they just started kind of promoting that, and that'll go on, and that'll be something that even once the building is built, you'll still be able to do that. But I noticed that at Duke in front of their football facility. I don't know if you went over to where their football offices were, not in the stadium, but it was east of the east of Cameron. They had a new building there, and they had the bricks with the people's names on them and stuff. And that's pretty impressive, and it's you know, something that I think is as fans, when people start to see that or start to think about it, that's your chance to identify with it. You know, everybody wants to identify with the Bearcats, especially, you know, with the success we've had. So,
and you've got a big football game coming up Saturday and the last regular season home game of the year. And it's always nice when you have that last game mean so much at home. And it does, really, no game's meant as much as it does this Saturday for the team.
It's a big game, John. It's taking on more meaning now after last week, you know. And, you know, it'll be interesting, first of all, to see how we respond. I'm sure we're going to respond well, but we're in a position where our back's kind of against the wall, and we haven't been that way. We haven't been in that situation for a long time, so I think that's good. You know, it's senior day. That's always a special time, and to honor our seniors, and I think they're going to do a special tribute to honor Nick Turner. Nick would have been a senior this year, and so that'll be a special time. Ag Day, so you know, agriculture is huge, and the lifeblood of this area, and so it's fun to have that as well. I think we've sold close to maybe 500 tickets to Fort Hays. People driving 6 hours, that's says a lot about what they've got going on and how they believe in their team. So I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. Sound like, you know, I probably shouldn't say it, I'll probably put the hex on. Sounds like the weather's supposed to be pretty good. Should be a fun day.
Facing a team like this on the outskirts of the conference there on the western edge and them coming in here, how big is that home field play having them here as opposed to having to go out to Hayes?
Well, I don't know what an effect it has on them, but I know what effect it has on us to go to Hayes. And so it's a big advantage for us. And Hayes is a good place. It really is. Some people talk about it, but I think it's a nice community. It's out kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it's a nice community, and I think their facilities are good, but it just seems like, my experience has been out there, it's almost like going into the Twilight Zone, and we've had some strange things happen out there. I think it was my last year, it was either 2009 or 2010 when we were out there. We couldn't stop them. We had a bunch of injuries and guys got sick on defense, and almost had to play a few grad assistants, I think, on defense. And we were at one point where we felt like we were far enough ahead. In the fourth quarter, we took our starters out on offense, and all of a sudden we had them warming back up because we thought we were going to have to put them back in, and we survived. But I think we gave up 40 some points that game. We won 60 something to 40 something. So lots of strange things.
And when you look at the way that Fort Hays State has built that program, it's been kind of similar to what you did at the ground floor of the Bearcat football program here, where they've just see that team make some good steps here a little bit of a step each of the last 4 years.
Well, they have. And, Chris Brown has got a history in our conference, was an All-American at Pitt State. And the thing, I really like Chris. I really respect him. I think he's done a great job. And the thing that I think that it's a classic example of his team represents him. And it's just he was a blue-collar player, and that's the way his team is. They just go out and they play hard, and not a lot of great athletes, so to speak, but guys that just really play hard together, and You know, so it's going to be a real challenge. Those teams are always the toughest teams to beat. So we have a little touch there. Phil Veal, who was a grad assistant for us, is our offensive coordinator. So another one of our guys coming back to haunt us maybe. So but we'll be all right. So.
And still plenty of football to be played this year. But through 9 weeks, your thoughts on Coach Wright and just his first year as a head coach and how he's handled everything so far?
Well, he has. It's been a good, you know, the transition has been really good. And, you know, obviously it helped that we were able to keep our staff intact. That's helped him a lot. But it's still different, and we talk quite a bit. It's different when you're the head coach. And I think he, you know, I admire what he's done. I think he's handled it extremely well. You know, he got his first test at finding out what it's like to lose as a head coach, and that's never fun. But, you know, I think he's got a good perspective on it. And like I said, I think our team's going to be well prepared, and we'll move on into that, and we'll just keep moving. You know, 2 weeks and 2 weeks from Saturday, and it's playoff time. And, you know, with one loss now, it's probably going to be real difficult for us to be the number one seed, which means that for the first time in a few years, we'd be playing in the first round. And hopefully things will work out so that we'll be at home. But, you know, lots of things to happen in the next 2 weeks.
And as you well know, you can still have a lot of success, even if you have to go on the road some in the playoffs. A couple of your teams known as road dogs going through the playoffs.
We, 2005, we spent a lot of time on the road. And that was a lot of fun, you know. And I think that team went through some of the same things. We probably had more injuries that year than we had in a lot of years, and went through some of the same things that this team's gone through. And we didn't just get beat by Pitt. We got shackled by Pitt. I think it ended up 3 touchdowns. I think it was 28 points at halftime, and that was the second to last game of the year. And we came back and beat Baptist at home, and you know, Central helped us by beating Pitt, and we ended up getting in and beating everybody that, you know, in the playoffs. We beat Washburn and Pitt both at their places. So, yeah, a lot can happen. And, you know, playoffs are playoffs. It's nice to be at home. There's no doubt about that. But I think if you just keep everything in perspective, there's no reason why you can't win on the road. We've proven that, too.
What is it about Northwest that first week of the season or national championship game, players don't seem to tighten up? They kind of take it game by game and always have just the right amount of focus to go in and get the job done.
Well, I think I think it's experience, it's tradition, because we've you know, we've experienced it for so many years, and so they grow up expecting. I mean, as players, when they're here, you know, as redshirt freshmen, they see it happening. And they just feel like that's just part of the process. And so, you know, I think for us, if we were ever in a situation where we weren't in the playoffs, it'd be hard for us to really understand, because that's been a part of the season. And you know, we're blessed to be in that position.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the expectations of the players coming in. I think it kind of plays a role this year, too, when you see the number of injuries that Northwest has had, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where it's always the next man up, and they've got some good contributions from some guys that probably weren't expected to get that much playing time this year just because of some of those.
Well, they really have, and, you know, and that's going to pay off for us later on. And, you know, we see some guys, and that's what's made it fun, is to see how a lot of these players have just stepped up and they accept their role, and they know their role, and they're ready to step in and do the job. And so, you know, if we can get a few of those guys back, some of them we're not going to get back, but if we get a few of those guys back, then our depth is that much better as we get in this time of the season where the games are really more critical.
All right, well, Mel, thanks a lot for being with us here.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Again, that's Athletic Director of Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. We'll be back and have more for you on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Murray.
Thanks, Coach. Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Heinlein provides furniture and flooring for every room in the house, as well as mattresses. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Marcus Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and Liftmaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, joins us. And Rich, good to have you at the start of the show tonight.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
Coach, talk about Pittsburgh State and going there and obviously a tough loss. But what do you take away from that football game moving forward?
Yeah, I think you take a lot of things. It was just what was frustrating is I felt like, at the end of the day, when the final ticks went off the clock and it became, apparent that we weren't going to win that thing, it kind of set in, you know what I mean? And it was hard because we felt like it's one thing when you lose a football game when you feel like you played your best game, when you did everything that you could and you came up short, and I think as a player, as a coach, you can live with that. And the tough thing about that one last Saturday was we obviously didn't feel like we played to our capability on either side of the football, and we're just disappointed. And so what you do to take away from that, and I said it on last week's radio show, probably my greatest growth as an individual in my life has occurred when I've done things wrong. And it forces you to look in the mirror. It forces you to look at yourself and how do we correct things and how do we do things better moving forward. And I think collectively as a program, we did that this week.
When you look at that game offensively, it just seemed like at various points of the game, you're maybe one or two plays that if could have converted on at different points of that ball game, it would have made a huge difference as far as momentum in that game.
Yeah, it did. At times we look good, but that's kind of been a little bit indicative of who we've been on that side of the ball. I mean, we're moving the ball at times, but before where we weren't converting, and getting it into points, this last week they turned into turnovers. And you've heard me repeatedly, on here that, you can win with defense, but you can't win with defense turning the football over. And you just sooner or later those possessions are going to bite you in the butt, and they did for us last week. And I just think it was a case of some of our guys trying to do too much at times, trying to, make a big play and instead of just staying within the system. And it's just, it's unfortunate, but you learn from it.
How do you take this to where you use it as motivation, refocus guys, and at the same time you kind of do what Northwest does best and kind of put last week behind you and focus on the next game?
It's the nice part about kind of how we approach everything, whether we win or whether we lose. It's really on a game-by-game basis. We don't get too high and we don't get too low, or try not to. I wanted this one to fester in us a little bit, though. I let that thing linger all through Sunday and even into Monday a little bit. And then we said, okay, it's time to flush it. It's time to move on. Let's get prepared for Hayes. And we had a fantastic week of practice. So,
what are some of the things that make a great week of practice for you?
It begins with focus of the kids. It begins, am I having to create energy, vocally myself, or are the kids doing it? How are the corrections coming? Are the corrections coming exclusively from the coaches, or are players trying to help, foster that? And this week it was very good as far as players being interactive. And then just effort and physicality at practice. You know, because sometimes that can be a grind when you're hitting people every single day, and your body gets sore and it gets broke down a little bit, and so sometimes you have a tendency to back off a little bit. Our kids did not back off this week. This week was a very physical week of practice for us, and so I was really pleased with that as well.
And the upside of that too is getting that physicality back as you go against one of the top teams in the nation this upcoming week.
Yeah, you know, the Fort Hays is a great football team. Chris has done a great job there. He's you know, kind of patterned it after, you know, who he was as a player. And we talk every year. I've known him since I came back in 04. He was an assistant at Washburn, and we became pretty good friends. And, you know, both of us are defensive guys, and, you know, so we both like physical styles of play. And, you know, the you know, that's just kind of indicative of what they're doing right now. You know, they fly around on defense. I think statistically they're the number two defense behind us in the MIAA, and, you know, they're scoring points on the other side of the ball.
When you look at the way that program's been built, we talked to Mel a little bit about this as well, but it's been a program that you see them take some steps each year where they're just building from each year and to the point where they're at right now, undefeated.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, anytime you're trying to build a program, you know, the way Coach Churchman did or the way Chris is, you know, it kind of has to be done incrementally. You know, very rarely do you make the kind of strides, particularly in this league, because the league is so competitive, so it's hard to make significant strides, you know, fast. But, you know, he's done a real solid job, and, you know, they're undefeated, so they're having a great year.
Does it feel like the MIAA just continues to get better and better? You see a Central Missouri, Washburns, those teams kind of hanging around, Emporia Statesboro the last few years, and now you see Fort Hays 2, number six in the nation.
I think it's just indicative of the quality of our league. You know, it always seems like, you know, Western was up for a while, Washburn was really strong for a while. You know, Pittsburgh State, you know, obviously historically has always been a really good program. And so, again, it's just that, you know, you look at Central Oklahoma last week and we talked about some of the things that they could do, and they turned around and beat Central Missouri last week. I mean, it's the quality of competition in the MIAA is second to none, in my opinion.
And I think that's what really makes the run Northwest has been on through this year is even more meaningful, just the type of team you've had to play in, and you still maintain that level of success.
Yeah, you know, it's difficult when the bullseye is on your back every week, you know, and it's not easy to do, and for several years we've made it look easy, but trust me, it's a lot more difficult than it appears.
And number one versus number five in the regional rankings as far as going into this football game, do you guys glance at that at all, or at what point do you kind of come around and say, all right, this is how the playoffs are going to break down if it ended today?
Honestly, we don't even look at it, you know, because it's really going to play itself out. You know, it's based on what we do now. Once again, we're still in a position, we're very fortunate, you know, that in the sense that we're still in a position to control our own destiny moving forward. We got to focus on what we've got to do. We've got to win out. We got to win this week. We got to win next week. And then wherever they seed us is where they seed us, and we'll either be at home or we'll go on the road and play whomever they tell us to play. You know, once you get to that point, you know, that's where you want to be. And so we really don't look at those regional rankings until the last week and it gets done and we figure out where we want to go play. But, you know, the focus and the attention, if you're doing it right now, just needs to be solely on Fort Hays.
And what about Fort Hays? What are you seeing out of them?
Just a really solid football team. I think one of the things that impressed me when I was watching them on their offensive side is that they do a really good job of distributing the ball to a lot of people. They have two quality backs. They've got two good outside receivers. They've got a good tight end. They've got a good inside slot receiver. And the quarterback gets rid of the ball and distributes it to all of them. So it's difficult to take one thing away. You know, he's been very efficient with the football. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He doesn't hang on to it long. He doesn't take chances with the ball. You know, so they don't turn it over a lot, and that makes them tough. Flip it over on the other side, and defensively, they have a really good interior defensive lineman who really he moves the inside of the front, and he's difficult to navigate. We're going to have to play well. They're fast on level two. They're built to... Chris talked to me a little bit about things last year, and he loved Jacob Volstead. And, you know, one of the things he talked about was wanting to get faster at his linebacker positions, and he looks like he's upgraded in that way. They blitz a lot on third and medium, don't blitz a lot on third and long. Try and keep things in front of them. Again, philosophically kind of like us in the sense that they're trying not to give up explosive plays and make you nickel and dime and earn everything that you get.
Offensively, obviously we've seen Central Missouri, Central Oklahoma, some high-powered offenses in the MIAA. Is this as balanced as they come, do you think, your opponent-wise?
That's a great question. I think that they're similar to Central Missouri. I think Central Missouri statistically is running the ball really well, too, this year. You know, they've got two backs instead of the one. But the difference there is Central's quarterback is really mobile and very much a threat, whereas, you know, Hayes' kid is more of a pocket-style kid. But I'd make a comparison to Central, you know, as far as what I see out of them offensively, you know, because I think Central does a pretty good job doing those things as well, utilizing their tight end, utilizing their receivers, and so I think that's a good comparison.
Well, the final regular season home game of the year, Senior Day, and what's that mean to the program?
You know, it's a special time for us. I mean, saying goodbye to a group of kids that has had a huge impact on our university and our football program. They've done a fantastic job for leading this year. And, you know, really proud of their efforts all season long. And so, you know, obviously you want to, you know, right now we only know that we've got one last game in Bearcat Stadium, and that'll be this Saturday. Hopefully there will be more, but, you know, we don't control that right now. So we've got to seize every ounce of that 3 or 4 hours on Saturday and enjoy the heck out of it together. And we plan on doing that. And, you know, the other thing I'd probably be remiss if I didn't mention is we're gonna do something to honor one of our other seniors. Nick Turner would have been in this class, and, you know, he was a pretty significant part of our football program and, you know, in the hearts of our senior class. And so we're going to do some stuff to honor him on Saturday as well.
All right. Well, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Again, that's the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. Boy, I can continue on from the Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXEV K&W Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware and custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through the ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson's Sports Grill, downtown Maryville. Matt Tritton now being joined by Northwest Missouri State junior linebacker Ben Althoff. Ben, appreciate you joining us on the show. Senior Day is coming up. Talk about what that means as a guy that has kind of looked up to some of the guys that are graduating. You've kind of followed their footsteps the last few years, and now final regular season home game with them coming up.
Yeah, it's always just definitely a cool time. Senior Day, you know, going out there with the guys that, you know, you've played with the last 3 or 4 years, and just watching them, you know, have their day. And it's all about them, and we just want to honor them and, you know, just play as hard as we can for those guys, because we know, you know, when it's our senior day, those guys that are freshmen and sophomores and juniors, they're going to do the same for us.
I'm sure playing at Bearcat Stadium, just with the crowd and the tradition that comes with Northwest Missouri State, there's a certain amount of emotion that goes into each football game. But from the past couple of senior days that you've been a part of, does it feel like there's a little bit more, just, you know, things go your way, you're back home in the playoffs, but none of that's guaranteed just yet?
Yeah, it's definitely a unique situation this year, you know, just not having anything guaranteed, like you said. That's going to be huge for us. We just want to, you know, do our best to get to that point where we do have another game for these seniors. You know, they've had so many memories in that stadium, and we don't want that to be their last one there.
Coach Wright spoke about Nick Turner and honoring him this weekend as well. What's that guy mean to the team, and what impact does he still have around the program?
Oh, yeah. Just Nick's impact is so huge for us, especially, you know, the guys that got to be around him. They got to spend time with him. We have his jersey up in his locker around the D-line. So that's just a constant reminder for us. And, you know, the guys that see that, you know, just what he represents for our team and just the willingness and the sacrifice that he put in just motivates us.
And honestly, it feels like seeing the way he's still around the program, it just goes to show and reinforces that family tradition that really is around Northwest Missouri State football.
Yeah, definitely. We talk about family all the time in our locker room, our coaches, and, you know, that's something we really hang our hat on. And Nick totally represents that, him and his family, what they've been through, and we just want to honor him, you know, with his senior day and, you know, possibly his last game.
We're talking Northwest Missouri State football with linebacker Ben Althoff. Ben, coming off a tough game last week against Pittsburgh State, a 20-10 loss. The defense is still number one in total defense, number one in scoring defense in the nation, still putting up ridiculous numbers. But when you just kind of go back around to just that one game last week, what do you take away from it before flushing it, like Coach said?
It's just tough. You know, Coach says it all the time. You know, the hardest thing is, you know, to keep our players hungry when you have so much success. And, you know, you learn the most from failure. And I haven't never experienced that until this week. And, you know, that's definitely something I've learned. You know, just focusing on the details is what wins you football games. And we've got to get back to that. And we've definitely got back to that this week in practice.
Could you tell on the bus ride home that it was going to be a pretty good week of practice?
Yeah, it was different, I'll say that. You know, Sunday meetings come, and, you know, we just want to have that laser focus all week, just because, you know, that we're not in the driver's seat anymore. You know, we got to fight for our right to get more home games and to play in the playoffs.
Well, tell me about your season a little bit individually as well, too. Leading the team in tackles with 59, and that's not even a close margin. Nobody within 20 tackles of you. Last year you just had 49 for the entire year, so to be able to step in this role and take on a bigger role as a junior. What's that been like for you this year?
It's just been great. You know, I just try to focus on not doing too much. I know I can just trust the guys around me, especially the defensive line secondary. I know those guys up front do a great job of shutting off the inside gaps. And just allowing me to flow. So hats off to those guys. They do such a great job every week.
What do you take away from a guy last year, like a Jacob Volstadt, playing linebacker, flew all over the field and tried to adopt that same mentality?
Yeah, I definitely spent a lot of time this offseason, and even during this season, just watching his film and, you know, the way he attacked things and approached things. Just having that same mindset and just kind of imitating some of the stuff he does is huge for me, and it's just a great example for me to follow.
Did you try to make it a point where you're flying all over the field? Like, it seemed like sideline to sideline, he was everywhere. And there's been times this year, too, where it's like, I swear I saw Ben break left and he ends up on the right sideline. I mean, does that flying all over the field, does that just come from instincts or studying game tape or what?
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And, you know, Jake did such a great job of it. And I kind of joke around like, man, he kind of invented our middle linebacker position. And he really has, and, you know, I just try to, you know, imitate that the best I can and just have fun out there on Saturdays with it.
So I've also heard that you're a bit of a freak athlete, too. In high school, we talked about this a little bit a minute ago, but the 100-meter dash record holder for Palmyra High School at 10.98 seconds, and you're playing linebacker. Do you ever throw in, hey, let me play a little safety, line up a wide receiver or something?
A little bit, but I mean, I stick to what I'm good at, and that's flowing sideline to sideline. I don't, I don't know about covering, getting deep and covering guys in the face, but yeah, yeah.
Was there any thought about talking to Coach Lorick about running track here too?
No, I never thought about that. You know, my main focus was football, and it's always what I wanted to pursue.
And were you more than just a football and track guy, or multi-sport athlete going there?
I played basketball a little bit, but mainly football and track were the two major ones, especially later on in high school.
And in the end, what made Northwest Missouri State the right fit for you?
Just, you know, academically, me being an ag major, that was a great fit. Small town, I'm from a small town. Palmyra is a pretty small environment, small atmosphere, and just great football, too. So just kind of the collection of all three just was a great fit for me.
Well, should be a good day. Ag day as well coming up on Saturday, so have a big game for us then.
Sure,
no
will.
Pressure, right?
That's right.
Ben, we appreciate your time. Good luck this Saturday.
Thank you very much.
That is Ben Althoff, Northwest Missouri State junior linebacker from Palmyra, Missouri. Bearcats getting ready to take on Fort Hays State on Senior Day this Saturday. We'll take a break. Be back to talk Bearcat basketball with head coach Ben McCollum here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from your local family-owned Orsland Farm and Home, with more than 30 stores throughout the region. Orsland provides customers with the tools and materials necessary for jobs on the farm, in the garage, or at home. More information at OrslandFarmHome.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball program, Ben McCollum. Ben, good to have you with us. We got another season rolling up here.
Yeah, great to be here, John. I think it looks like Matt got demoted. isn't allowed to give me interviews. He's not even paying attention. No, it's great to be here, John. Good to hear your voice again.
Oh, it is good. I tell you what, coming off that trip to Duke, I understand you had a chance to sit down with Coach Jasewski for a little while Friday afternoon. What type of advice did you give him about coaching you?
Yeah, I got him straight. You know, I sat with him for about a half hour, and they called me out a shoot around and said, Coach Krzyzewski would like to meet with you, and you know, like, okay. So got to go back there, and you meet him, and it's interesting. He's obviously, when you see him on TV, he seems just completely unapproachable and obviously somewhat big time, and you meet him, and he really comes down to your level and talks to you like you belong in the conversation, and he was great about that. The thing he wanted to meet with me was the national anthem. Obviously, you know, there's a lot going around about the kneeling and whatnot, and so what they did was just wore equality shirts and had the Pledge of Allegiance on the back, and he wanted to make sure that that was okay with me, and I said, yeah, that's fine, and then we obviously moved on to other conversations, and I was able to ask him some questions, and you know, he's pretty high level thinker. I mean, he sits there and he thinks through everything that he says, and he spent a lot of time with me, which I really appreciate.
You know, talking with Matt, talking with Mel as well here tonight, just about the entire trip and just how well Northwest Missouri State was treated on that entire trip out to Duke.
Absolutely, it was first class. You know, we went to North Carolina too and toured that, and that was a first class environment. Duke was, you know, we got to practice at Cameron Indoor twice, shoot around once. and then play the game. I mean, that's as cool of an experience as our kids are probably going to have, and outside of, you know, obviously winning the national title. But, yeah, it was fun. They treated us great. Really, hopefully we helped them get better. Hopefully we exposed a few things, and, you know, they improved because they played us.
And how did that game help Northwest get better as well?
Well, boy, you know, early on I thought we got the shots that we wanted. Even looking back on film, I was like, boy, maybe back on film we actually got considerably better shots than they got. The problem is, you know, there's 6'11", and, you know, I looked at the tip, so we had a picture of the tip ball. Brett's pretty athletic. Oh, he goes up for the tip. His hand is at that guy's armpits, and those guys' arms are like, you know, shoot, they're 4 feet, 5 feet long. So he's about 4 feet above him. I mean, so I thought we got the shots that we wanted. I thought that they exposed some things in regards to our transition defense, where if you don't go at 100% and absolutely sprint, they're going to beat you up the floor because they are that much more athletic. And so those kind of things. So now when we say transition defense in practice, it's sprint like you're playing Duke. And it box out like you're playing Duke. Because if you don't do that against them, they're so much more athletic and so much more physically gifted that they'll expose it.
Well, you're a week away from opening up the regular season down in St. Joseph with Upper Iowa. Just talk about things you want to do between now and tip-off time Friday afternoon.
Well, we need to have good practices. We hadn't had great practices this year, and I think a lot of that is you have to manufacture some of that hunger that you had last year, where it was pretty easy last year to get them motivated. Now this year you have to work for it a little bit more, and that's okay. Today we had a great practice, but, you know, outside of that, just continue to gel, continue to flow offensively, and then defensively, you know, just it's a lot about the details defensively. You know, I think that's what we're missing, where we don't want to finish plays defensively, don't want to make that extra rotation, don't want to make that extra box out, don't want to get that extra loose ball. Just a lot of detail stuff that we need to improve on and continue to grow with.
Well, an hour away from the basketball bash over at Bearcat Arena. Let's just talk about that event. And it's always kind of a fun way for the fans to get a chance to see this year's men's and women's basketball teams, and kind of a good opportunity to unveil the teams for the fans.
Yeah, the big thing for us in the Bearcat Bash is to win the dance competition. I mean, I think we've lost it for two straight years. Last year, I really felt like our guys danced better.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
They kind of got jobbed by the crowd there.
You know, and then the crowd cheers, and I swear the girls bring their own crowd to cheer for them. And so I was pretty disappointed last year. We ran for a couple hours, you know, the next day because we lost it. But, you know, that's the most important part. I think this year, you know, we've worked on it a little bit more, the dance, our guys did. And I don't know if that's going to be a problem or not, because part of the them being funny is that they have no idea what they're doing. I think this year they actually have an idea, so it might be horrible.
Oh, man.
But we'll see. And then the lip sync, you know, that'll be good. And I think you're getting out there and doing a dance this year, I heard.
Well,
so
that's what Matt's been saying. I don't think that's in the cards here tonight.
We'll pull rank and make Matt get out there.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Now, how bad would it be to have one of you guys turn an ankle during this dance contest?
That would be bad. That would be, it's knock on wood, John. Let's just put some bubble wrap around the little guy.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that'd be a lot of fun. Season starting in another week, and hopefully we'll be back and have another fun season like last year.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it'll be it's a challenge, I think, just from a coaching perspective, from our seniors' perspective, just being able to lead and create that hunger. It's going to be one of our biggest challenges, you know, hopefully we're up for it. And, you know, again, obviously we schedule very difficult, where we got Upper Iowa, Northern State. You know, Truman State made the national tournament. Metro State is always good. Lincoln Memorial is number 3 in the country. So we schedule pretty difficult this year as usual, and should be a fun pre-conference.
That schedule, though, tends to pay off, don't you think, in the end, by playing that type of schedule?
I think so. I think it exposes you. I think you get better because of it. I don't know. I guess early on we played an easy schedule because I felt like we needed to to build our confidence. And then once we started to get where we had returners and we started to be pretty good, I've always felt like let's play some people, let's see what happens, and compete against the best. And you know, that's what we've done.
All right, well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. We'll be back then. Wrap things up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. As you're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, Matt Tritton joins us as we wrap things up here on another edition of the Coach's Show. Big weekend coming up. Northwest, Fort A State on Saturday afternoon, 1:30 kickoff. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 12:30. But it ought to be, again, a heck of a game. Two top teams in the MIAA getting ready to go at it.
Yeah, it's kind of what you hope for, really, of having what could be a pseudo-conference championship game, depending on how things play out there the next week as well. But a lot of fun seeing the number one team in the region here come to Maryville. Bearcats chance to knock them off and improve their playoff standing as well. And then, of course, too, the basketball teams having their basketball bash this evening. I heard Coach McCollum might sing a song, has the voice of a young Justin Bieber, so that should be a lot of fun, too.
All right, he didn't catch a bit of that over there.
Right over his head.
That's right. Well, he's a short guy, so. All right, that'll do it for the Coach's Show this evening. From Carson Sports Girl, we'll be back again next Thursday for another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coach's Show. For Matt Tritton and also behind the scenes, Jenny James and Ryan Neal. Helping out, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.